Hello and welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Returning from the 4th of July recess, Senate Republicans are going to try again to come up with a health care bill that could win the 50 votes it needs to pass. Word is they hope to have a revised bill by week's end, perhaps by Thursday. A Congressional Budget Office score could come by next Monday with a Senate vote by the end of next week. How is all this uncertainty affecting Michigan hospitals and health care providers, the ones with many thousands of newly insured patients? We turn to Mary Zatina, Senior Vice President of Governmental Relations and Community Affairs for the Beaumont Health System. They have 8 hospitals throughout Southeast Michigan. Mary Zatina, welcome.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here and talking about this really important topic.
Let's start broadly, Mary. How did the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, impact Beaumont?
Well, it brought a lot of change at a very rapid pace. Initially, the American Hospital Association said, we know you're going to need more money from us in order to cover more people. So we agreed early on, even before passage of the Affordable Care Act, to a lot of hospital reductions. And since 2010, nationally, that's really totaled about $150 billion. So giving back that money said that hospitals would be willing to put more of our pay at risk and be paid for quality outcomes rather than what we might call piecework, how many of a certain procedure we did. So that prompted us to change our thinking about what we do. And then we also began to see different kinds of conditions showing up in our physician offices, in our emergency departments, when people finally got the confidence to come in. And the confidence to come in and see our healthcare professionals came from finally having an insurance card in their pocket. So the people who came to us were perhaps coming to see a physician or a nurse after many years without. And we saw more advanced cases of disease than we ever like to see. We saw chronic conditions like diabetes that weren't being managed.
How about profit margins and costs? How did the ACA affect those for Beaumont?
Well, you know, people say Medicaid doesn't pay well. Well, it really doesn't cover all of our costs. But the contrast from people who are totally uninsured, who pay nothing, to getting something for that has helped our profit margins. Now, we are a nonprofit healthcare system. Most of the hospitals in Michigan are. And when you're a nonprofit healthcare system and you talk about having excess revenue over expenses, that gives us the precious pennies we need on the dollar to reinvest in new technologies. Beaumont is about to bring online a very sophisticated cancer treatment modality. Those capital costs are all borne by having a stronger financial situation and a stronger balance sheet, which certainly on balance, we have had.
One of the things, Mary, I think that is often kind of lost in this big raging national health care debate, and that is jobs. Has Beaumont found itself hiring or laying off workers over the last 6-plus years that the ACA has been in effect?
Well, Beaumont is definitely growing. We're seeing an increase in the number of people who are coming to us. We have recently enjoyed the coming together of 3 great hospital systems into one. Oakwood, Botsford, and Beaumont Health System became what we now call Beaumont Health. So sometimes in a merger like that, people expect to see a loss of jobs. The truth is we are larger now than the 3 legacy organizations were when they were on their own. We have found the uncertainty of the future of health policy, whether it's the American Health Care Act or now what's called the Better Care Reconciliation Act, they both create a lot of uncertainty for our industry. We are trying to focus on 2 things, improving our quality and cutting our costs, and doing so with a close attention to patients and their families and to really live and bring to life the compassion that is so important to our mission and our the way we want to conduct ourselves. So if you keep focusing on how do I deliver better value, how do I get the quality up and the cost down, we feel it's our best strategy in these uncertain times, you know, no matter what happens to us with health policy legislation. So that's what we've been doing.
As all the debate has been going on in Congress and with the Republican push to repeal and replace or repeal who knows what and then come up with something new, we don't know where it's going. What concerns you the most about that dialogue?
What concerns me the most is that we're not speaking from a place of knowledge of what's in the Affordable Care Act. A lot of folks have finally read the fine print, if you will, of the Affordable Care Act much more closely and are understanding the interweaving of elements of the Affordable Care Act. You know, people rail against the individual mandate. Well, if you don't have a lot of people participating, then of course the sicker, more costly people are going to place a financial burden on insurers, and they don't have the other folks to kind of balance it out. So we're better understanding it. And what I wish for is that we really could introduce the other R word, repair, and focus on what about the Affordable Care Act needs repairing, and let's all work together to set about the task of doing that. We don't think the Affordable Care Act was perfect. Let's work on repairing those things that weren't working for this delicate balance of patient, provider, which would be the hospitals and physicians, and the insurance companies. Let's not throw the whole thing away and start again.
What are the biggest things in the Affordable Care Act that you believe needed to be fixed?
Well, it's something, you know, you hear about shoring up insurance markets. So something to help this balancing that needs to happen between the high cost customers and others who are opting out or choosing not to get it. We would like to see more addressed about the rising cost of pharmaceutical care. We really are focused on getting costs down. Pharmaceuticals seem to be this huge, out of control cost spike in our business that presents a category of cost we really can't seem to manage as well as we would like to. We'd like to see our physicians have more flexibility to work in teams and to work in under kind of incentive situations that don't come and bump up against what we refer to as Stark laws or anti-kickback laws. But we want to incentivize our physicians for doing the right things. There's still some barriers to that because of legislation that we hope to see changed in the coming year. So there are things we can work on together to fix, but throwing the whole thing out is too drastic for these times.
And if that happens, if it does come down to, we even saw President Trump tweeting, if we can't come up to something, then repeal it and then we'll replace it later. Let's just say that happens, that they do manage to repeal the Affordable Care Act. How do you think that would affect the people that your hospitals serve?
You know, the honest answer is we really don't know. But I think this it will create a new kind of uncertainty. Would someone who perhaps walked into a physician office for the first time in a couple years and finally fessed up that they've had a chronic cough that they can't shake, and now they're coughing up blood, and then, oh my gosh, after all these years of not seeing a clinician, we're discovering maybe that it's lung cancer. And are we treating that person in a course of treatment for that lung cancer? And now where their insurance is at risk of going away, do they stop that care? Or, you know, how sudden will it be? Some of the policies that are coming out sort of extend the time period before the Medicaid expansion goes away. The Senate bill does. It extends the time for the phase down. But then when you do phase down, the cliff that we fall off as a Medicaid community is much steeper than it was before. So what does that cancer patient do? Do they stop their care? Do they put all their savings or their retirement income toward continuing it? Or maybe it just creates so much uncertainty we get back to those days where somebody just ignores the symptoms and ignores the signs until someone who loves them so much says, I don't care what it's going to cost. I'm taking you to the ER or whatever. That's not the way we want to live as a society, and it's not the way we want to care for the people we love. So I hope that won't be the case. We have about 1 million people in Michigan who have benefited from one aspect or another of the Affordable Care Act. That's like 1 in 10 Michiganders have been helped by this. And we know them. They are people with whom we go to church, and they're the people in front of us or behind us at the grocery store checkout line, or maybe they're the person checking our groceries out. I think when it comes right down to it, we care about these people, and we want them to have the comfort of insurance that helps them get the proper health care they need.
Mary Zatina, Senior Vice President of Governmental Relations and Community Affairs for the Beaumont Health System. Mary, thank you so much for speaking with us on Stateside.
Thank you, Cynthia.